Hello and welcome to Wattcast. My name is Roger Watson, and these podcasts are dedicated to readings of various articles that I've had published in newspapers and magazines. They reflect my views on politics, the pandemic, and current affairs. Thank you very much for listening. Even China did not make face masks mandatory. This is my column for the Daily Skeptic of the 29th of June 2023. Since the first postcard from was published in the Daily Skeptic, then Lockdown Skeptics in 2020, it's been my ambition to contribute the first postcard from China. I thought it might be a few weeks or even months before I would have my slot. In fact, it's 3.5 years since I set foot in China, and 4 years since I met my new employers at Southwest Medical University in Luzhou, in the heart of Sichuan Province. In the meantime, I had to satisfy myself with contributing a few postcards from Turkey, Italy, Portugal, Spain, Croatia, the United States and Slovenia. But here at last is my postcard from China. Entry requirements. For anyone who has not been to China, here's how it goes. Whereas many years ago a Chinese visa could be obtained by post, it's long only been possible by making a visit in person to a CVSC, a China Visa Service Centre, of which there are only 3 in the UK, London, Manchester and Edinburgh. They claim to be an independent service, but they're always suspiciously co-located with other Chinese government departments. Most of the process takes place online, but in true Chinese Luddite fashion, the application has to be printed off and taken to the CVSC. During the online process, you must upload a photograph, the dimensions and quality of which have to be so precise that this is the rate-limiting step in the process. In addition, although not specified anywhere online, you must bring a hard copy passport photograph with you. I only know from bitter experience of losing my place in the queue when I was unaware of this requirement. Once you arrive at the CVSC, you have a photograph taken at reception and another by the person who processes your application. This is in addition to the photograph that's taken when you enter China. Belt, braces and overkill are hallmarks of all administrative processes, especially those related to immigration, in the low-trust culture that characterises China. And then fingerprinting. You're asked to indicate if you've ever been fingerprinted for entry to China during the application process. I have many times, and this generates a permanent record related to your passport number, obviating the need to have fingerprints taken at the CVSC. They take them again anyway. On arrival in China, your first port of call is the fingerprint booth, where you scan your passport, place the fingers indicated by the machine on a scanner, and have a fingerprint certificate issued. Mine worked, but my wife's, who's also been to China before, did not. The point of the certificate is that you present it to the police officer immigration, who scans it, and you're exempt from fingerprinting at the passport booth. Both my wife and I were fingerprinted again. And then COVID-19 regulations. Travel advice on the UK government webpage reflects the Chinese government requirements, which are only that you take a rapid antigen test, a RAT, within 24 hours of departure, and this may be checked at customs on entry to China. I guessed it wouldn't be. However, over a month since the Chinese government changed its requirements, April 29th, with our flight out on June 17th, British Airways, BA, had not caught up, and this was not the first time I've had a run-in with its staff over their COVID requirements. BA was still insisting that you uploaded your vaccination status, my wife was none, health declaration, and the result of your COVID test before allowing you to check in. I uploaded our homemade RAT certificates, and in fact, that seemed to do the trick. I contacted BA on Twitter, absolutely the only way to do it, and its reply was that it was simply following the government guidelines. I replied saying that I am looking at the government guidelines right now, and I can assure you you are not. In the queue for the business class cabin, everyone was complaining about BA's tardiness in updating its check-in procedure. We were required to download the Chinese government customs app and make a health declaration there, which generated a QR code for scanning in the approach to immigration. Much to our surprise, that worked. And as predicted, nobody asked to see our RAT certificate. After an inordinate length of time at the immigration booth, during which time my wife nearly collapsed with jet lag, we were in. and relax. Once in China, China seems just the same. Richard Clayderman's dreadful ballad for Adeline, you know the one, was still playing in the lift in our hotel, just like it was in 2013 when I first stayed here. There are far fewer signs that there was ever a pandemic than there are on the streets in the UK. Very few people wearing masks, despite the Chinese predilection for doing so. I did witness one old fellow with a face mask coughing up a furball and removing his mask before expectorating a fluorescent green glob of sputum on the pavement before replacing his mask. I guess he was not a retired infectious diseases specialist. Gobbing noisily in the street is still very prominent in mainland China, having been effectively outlawed in Hong Kong after the SARS outbreak in 2003. Mostly it's the preserve of men, but I was once jogging in Shanghai and a beautiful young professional woman, hair swept back with shades, suited and carrying a briefcase, walking in the other direction, deposited an impressive glob of sputum on the ground somewhere between us. A colleague with more Far East experience than I said that she may have reserved that one especially for me. Some Chinese do not like Westerners, especially if they think you're American, which they all do. While I was teaching, my wife did try to elicit information from the students with whom she was working about lockdown, but they were tight-lipped, as were my colleagues. One senior nurse told me she never wore a face mask during the restrictions. Many did, but it was not compulsory. So even here, in the belly of the COVID beast, they were spared that particular part of COVID theatre. There were two unexpected outcomes of the COVID restrictions, especially the travel ban. My colleagues, some of my former PhD students, were genuinely struggling with English. Where once they'd been fluent, they were making constant reference to translation apps for the most mundane words. The other entirely unexpected effect was the increased curiosity about Westerners, that was us, in the streets, especially from young children. Luzhou is not a place frequented by Westerners, and coming here regularly since 2012, I've only seen two other Westerners, and they were a couple. Many older people said hello politely, but children were ultra-curious, running after us and shouting, "Foreigners," sometimes in Chinese, "Wai Gu Ren," and sometimes in English. It struck us that while many of these children were probably born pre-COVID, they'd never knowingly seen a Westerner. I took Ace Ventura Call of the Wild style to shouting, "White devil, white devil," whenever we encountered a group of curious Chinese people. I thought it was funny, but my wife did not. My assumption is that leaving China will be unproblematic. If it is problematic, you will be among the first to know. And just a PS to that, our departure from China was pretty unproblematic, but you do have to do another health declaration on the way out. And of course, if you haven't got Wi-Fi in the airport, you can't do it once you get there. You've got to do it on a machine. It works okay. And the other thing is, when you're leaving China, don't forget that you have to have a printed boarding pass. Downloading onto your phone is no good, as they have to stamp it for you.
This podcast was produced in association with youthpublications.com.